New Galaxy Broadcasting proudly presents Integrative Hermetic Health with Hugo Rodier, MD. In this program, we explore a powerful new paradigm for health from the standpoint of integrative medicine. In his practice, Dr. Rodier integrates the ancient Hermetic art and the enduring role of food as medicine with modern nutrition, but also allowing for the wide range of important health practices, including truly valuable medical discoveries, chiropractic, acupuncture, homeopathic and herbal medicine. In this program, Hugo Rodier, an expert in intestinal health and nutrition, will help the audience discover an approach that focuses on actual cures, not the masking of the elegant simplicity of many health solutions for the sake of profit. Profit too long has been an overriding motive of the pharmaceutical companies, and sometimes, sadly, by many in the medical establishment today. Welcome back to all our visitors on the Integrative Hermetic Health Show. My name is Johnny Bluestar, and I am happy to assist our host and founder, Dr. Hugo Rodier, an integrative medical doctor who specializes in nutrition and gastrointestinal health. Good morning, Dr. Rodier.
Good morning, Johnny.
Had a good week?
I did. How about you?
I had an interesting week.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to remind our regular visitors and those who have just come to the show for the first time that archives of all our shows are available at www.newgalaxybroadcasting.com. Another feature of our programs is that they are often discussions of Dr. Rodier's blogs, which you can find at hugorodier.com, which presents the links to important new articles in medical journals plus commentary. By visiting this program, however, you will gain more insights into these articles by applying some of these insights to an understanding of ways to better our health. So, we're off to the races, Doctor.
Well, let's do it.
You know, you wrote a book called Licking Sweet Death. And this, when did you write that book, approximately?
2005, I believe.
I mean, that book came somewhat after your understanding that sugar might not be the best thing for you, right?
Well, sugar became a problem for me in the early 90s, so I collected a whole lot of articles to flesh out the book.
Did you yourself have a personal experience with sugar or sort of a learning curve with it?
Well, like everybody else, you know, it's a national tragedy, which is what I tell patients who are really serious about working on it, because it comes along with a lot of guilt once people begin to see that it's an addiction. And so, yeah, I'm no different than anybody else. I grew up in a bistro eating sugary croissants and crepes and a whole lot of toxic things that we're all familiar with, drinking Coca-Cola. So yeah, it's a national problem, much like tobacco and alcohol and even Valium and heroin has been compared to, the addiction to heroin has been compared to an addiction to sugar. I mean, this is pretty serious.
I mean, I'm still trying. I'm battling, and I'm still not really completely winning the war. It's much better. I have a core diet that I go to, which is basically what your diet is, you know, mostly vegetables, some fruit and vegetables and some fruit and also some protein. I have a little bit of meat protein, but I'm trying to slow it down, but it's not like I'm there yet. I want to be, believe me.
Well, sugars, refined sugars, we should put a fine point on it because it's not all sugars, you know, God made sugar in fruits and in veggies and in grains. We need that. It's just that by processing sugars, high fructose corn syrup, and by bleaching out grains and all that, we created a problem. Our bodies are just not constituted to do well with these toxic substances. And so it turns out that these sugars not only mess up every cell of the body, but they have a particular toxic effect on the satiety center in our brain, which is connected to the addiction center, if you will. I mean, these parts of the brain have specific names. I don't want to bore people with them, but they're in the hypothalamus for the most part. And so by affecting these parts of the brain, people don't know when to get full with these things. So you keep eating and eating and eating. And further, they also hook you. But that's just the beginning of the problem, because these sugars also affect our gut bacteria. It begins to mutate. And pretty soon, they get addicted too, and they demand that you keep feeding them that way. So if you ever lapse or delay the consumption of refined sugars, they'll let you know. These bacteria in the gut are pretty smart. They start sending messages to your brain for you to continue feeding them that way. The brain-gut connection is what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, I've heard that many times, but what I don't understand is how can these tiny bacteria, I mean, that's just an instinctual thing. It's not as though they're intelligent, is it?
Well, you know, there's a bit of a debate about that, but let's cover that. In fact, if I recall, we talked about Sapolsky. Remember when he was in New York, the scientist?
Yes.
And he published this article in the journal Scientific American. Mm-hmm. He was taking a break from some boring convention and sitting outside on the steps of this august building. He sees a puddle of water and he begins to wonder about the bacteria in that puddle of water. And he's reminded of his work on toxoplasmosis. Does that ring a bell?
Now it's not ringing a bell.
All right, well.
Toxoplasmosis.
Toxoplasmosis, that's a famous parasite that infects the litter of cats. And that's why pregnant women are told to steer away from cat litter boxes.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that. I don't remember the name of it, though. Yeah.
Yeah, toxoplasmosis. So, well, we might as well finish a story here. Well, it turns out that this bug can really mess up a fetus. So you're sure to bear a very defective child, baby, if you come in contact and become infected with toxoplasmosis when pregnant. Well, it turns out that this toxoplasmosis bug, parasite, figured out how to mess with the brain of rats.
Hmm.
You see, because they are carriers also. So that's how cats get infected. And so these little critters, toxoplasmosis, cause the rat to lose the fear of cats. You see where I'm going?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so the rat will be eaten by the cat, and thereby toxoplasmosis has assured itself of continuity of life. It's like, hey, you know, we better go to Mars or the moon, establish a colony so that we ensure our survival. So is toxoplasmosis smart? Well, you go figure. But I tell you, this one man, I forget the name of the guy, but he wrote this book, The Planet of Bacteria. And he made a pretty simple point. The bacteria are in charge, period. So
really?
Even in sheer numbers.
What does that mean, in charge, though? In charge of our health?
Yeah, in charge, yeah, because we've talked extensively about our microbiome in the gut, which, by the way, their DNA, the DNA of the organisms that live in the gut, mostly bacteria, but you find viruses, fungus, and parasites as well. Well, their DNA, the gut dwellers' DNA, outnumber our DNA, our body's DNA, 150 to 1.
Wow.
So, yeah. Also cover issue of the journal Scientific American. So these are pretty well-established facts that I'm sad that it's not percolating down to the trenches for people to hear.
Do you think it's aggregated intelligence, sort of like a beehive?
Yeah. Well, if we get really metaphysical about this whole thing, we might as well visit the concept that our body is a universe and that every cell of our bodies is a living entity. And so where does consciousness begins? Where does it stop? Well, you and I have talked about it, and we are not, this is no newsflash, but both of us believe that consciousness extends to everything, even objects on this universe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where does intelligence stop? Is a rock intelligent? These are questions that I don't know we're going to figure out, but in my heart of hearts, I say all is consciousness.
I saw some new research, and I haven't really studied it. I think Bruce Lipkin, is that his name?
And Lipton, yes.
Lipton, uh-huh. And Gregory Braden. What they were talking about is they are saying that there is evidence that information is not stored actually in the brain, but the brain is like an antenna for something that's outside of the body. Did you ever hear that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, this is well known. This has been published in medical journals that every cell of our bodies has intelligence and memory. And that's why you get techniques out there like myofascial release. Have you heard of myofascial release?
Is that where the face becomes distorted, or is that something else?
No, no. Myofascial means, you know, your connective tissues of your body. Basically, we store memories in our myofascia, connective tissue. Think of the tissues between the muscles and ligaments and all that. And so when we have, say, a traumatic experience, it will be stored in these tissues, not just the brain. In fact, the brain often comes up with a defense mechanism to forget those emotions, but they're going to still have a tremendous pull on your behavior and emotions and all that.
Well, I was actually pointing to another thing, another phenomena. They're talking about that the consciousness and data that's stored is not stored in the body at all. That it's so stored in a field, you know, like an energy field. Yeah. I never heard.
Yeah, that too. But let me finish this point
because
both are true, in my opinion.
Okay.
Both are true. So let me finish this point about myofascial release. So often, say, the classical example is child abuse, which I'm sad to report affects 1/3 of little girls. 1/3, that's a big number.
Huge.
But so most of these women, and men too, of course, not as many, end up with emotional issues, and often they don't even recall the abuse. So when they go have myofascial release and they get this deep tissue massage, all the stuff comes out in a very healing way. So they're able to get over these traumatic PTSD experiences, if you will. And the same with PTSD men and women. But anyway, now what you're talking about, this other thing, it's the same thing. The Akashic Records is what some people call it. And many writers have talked about that, not just Lipton, but also the woman who wrote The Field. What's her name? The name is escaping me. But The Field is one of the books that talks about this. But in a way, we've talked about it before. Remember when we talked about the caduceus of Hermes? And we talked about the two serpents entwining.
Yeah, Eden, Pingala, and
Remember the ancients figured that was a symbol of strength and wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so wisdom being information and strength being energy, which is what physicists figured out over 100 years ago, that everything in the known universe is energy and information. And so this is not metaphysics, this is physics. So every corner of the universe, light itself, if you will, is composed of energy and information. So it's matter. And so we've taken it to everything. We apply this to everything we talk about. So a minute ago, we were talking about food and sugar. Well, it turns out that food is nothing but energy and information, which is harnessed from the sun by photosynthesis. So think of energy as calories and information as the macronutrients. So it turns out if you eat poor energy and information, refined sugars, you're going to have poor function of every cell of the body because you're not fueling that cell well, nor giving it the proper information for it to carry out its functions. Whether it's a brain cell or a muscle cell, a skin cell, it's the same. They all require energy and information. So your concept of information being stored out there, yeah, it's totally true.
That's fascinating. For me, that part was a new insight. We've got to take a break now, but when we come back, we're going to get back a little bit into the sugar thing with one very dangerous but popular sugar here. And we'll see you at the end of the break in a few minutes. Thank you. This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. Want to write a book but don't want the challenges of developing time-consuming social media platform, costly private book promotions, complex email campaigns, and advertising commitments? If you write a book about your business, you don't need a mass audience. Focus on prospective clients with the best business card there is, your own book. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We could take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God! Are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, the creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
We cope with stress and anxiety in different ways than we did many decades ago. During today's program, we're going to play some older folk music, showing how, in a way, you can sing lighthearted songs when faced with a life of hardship and stress. Does music soothe the savage soul? Well, pepper your hardship with a little bit of understatement and you might get a song like this. All I've Got Is Gone, sung by Ernest V. Stoneman and his Dixie Mountaineers.
I'm gonna sing you a brand new song. She's a dandy, sure as you're born. All these things just running in a rhyme. Things all right considering these time. But all I got's gone. All I got's gone. Whole lot of people bought automobiles. Didn't know how this was gonna feel. Rode around so grand and proud. Notes come due, couldn't pay it out. All they got's gone. All they got's gone. A lot of people on nice little farms, doing pretty well, didn't do no harm. Sold their farm, bought a note or two. Notes come due, they had a skidoo. All they got's gone. All they got's gone. Whole lot of farmers want to ride and plow. Had to buy a tractor to find out how. When he broke a piece, them poor white fools better kept walking and a plowing them mules. For all they got's gone. All they got's gone. Went to the bank to borrow some money. Tell you right now, didn't find it funny. The banker said he had none to loan. Get your old hat and pull out home. For all I got's gone. All I got's gone. Like to see the women wearing satin dresses, husband bankrupted and are in great distresses. Better been at home washing up the dishes, patching their dresses or the husband's old britches. For all they got's gone, all they got's gone. Country dudes are riding in cars, tailor-made suits and a smoking cigar. Running to the barbershop, primping and a rubbing. Bet you right now they're plowing and a grubbing. For all they got's gone. All they got's gone. Me and my partner, we both went to bed. Jug of white lightning under my head. I waked up, the stopper was full. The jug was empty and my partner was full. All I got's gone. All I got's gone.
Hi, Doctor. We're back again.
I'm here.
Well, we're going to discuss one popular kind of sugar thing that's really devastating and one of its ramifications. According to this article by David A. Johnson in Medscape, this was in 2019, last month, high fructose corn syrup's possible role in intestinal cancer. And this is what it says. High fructose corn syrup can be found in almost all the sweetened, pasteurized, and processed foods we consume. It is cheaper and sweeter than cane sugar, which is why it is part of so many of these foods. High fructose corn syrup has also been implicated in the growing epidemic of obesity and diabetes and metabolic syndrome right here in the U.S. This has led states to place restrictions on the sale of items containing high fructose corn syrup, such as the number of large volume sodas that can be purchased at any one time. Another emerging health concern in the U.S. is the dramatic increase in colorectal cancer in relatively young patients. By 2030, it has been projected that colorectal cancers will increase by 90 to 125% in 20 to 34-year-olds and by 28 to 46% in 35 to 49-year-olds. This has led to the American Cancer Society to change its recommendation to begin screening early by the age of 45. What is this? Wow. Isn't this pretty serious?
Well, yes. That's what we were talking about, bad energy and inflammation for every cell of the body. So you focused on an article that documents colorectal cancer. So let me ask you this, just answer
yes or no
freely. Would it surprise you that it does the same for every form of cancer?
No, I guess not.
Okay, well, that won the Nobel Prize in 1931, Dr. Warbach.
Oh, really?
Very well. Yeah, 1931. See, that's why I wrote that book, Licking Sweet Death. And then would it surprise you that it has been refined sugars implicated with every possible health problem?
Wow, that's something.
Well, yeah, because you're messing with energy information to fuel every cell of the body. So I have here an article, a bunch of articles just published in the British Medical Journal. In fact, I blogged about it. The name of the blog is Nails in Your Coffin, because the articles are showing a 62% increase in early mortality. In other words, you're going to kick the bucket early. A 12% increase in heart disease, 11% brain diseases like strokes. And so you see, once you figure out how cells work, that they need energy and information, you better give them good energy and information or you're going to have all these problems. So, but the sad thing, and we alluded to it, is that despite people knowing all this, people still smoke, still drink, still eat sugar. That's the addiction.
Yeah, it's pretty serious stuff. There was something else that we talked about that I want to get back to, because I am reminded that this is the Integrative Hermetic Health Show. And there was something we were talking about in regards to, we started out talking about the microbiome and are these bacteria somehow conscious? And we talked about some other things related to that. And one of the things that you said, I mentioned, was that, well, there is some evidence that consciousness, our own memories even, are not really inside the body, but outside the body, and that our brain is more like an antenna receiving something outside the body, which has profound implications for who and what we are. For instance, when a person dies, and I've read many, many examples of NDE experiences, which often start by a patient is, has died, and there he or she actually sees what's going on the table where they're being operated on. Then they go elsewhere, and then they sometimes, oh, good, you want to come back because you can, but it's really, and I don't want to go back. I want to stay right here. Well, you're supposed to go back. All right. Or I really want to go back. I don't want to stay out here. I like it here better, but I've got, children to think of. So anyway, they go back and they sometimes go back and they go back into their bodies and see what's going around in the operating room. And then they wake up. So that's an example of how there's maybe an extra somatic consciousness, if you like. And the other example was what we talked about, the Akashic Records, which are often construed as being a container of memory of individuals for years, for centuries of rebirth, of reincarnation. So you were saying that, you were talking about this sort of overall consciousness that kind of explains some of that.
Well, I totally agree, Johnny. There's two ways to look at it. One, in how it affects our own bodies. So we store memories throughout our bodies. In fact, there's a therapy modality out there called myofascial release, which is deep tissue massage, because we store memories throughout our bodies, particularly in connective tissue, not just the brain. Mm-hmm. So if a person has had a traumatic experience, sexual abuse, PTSD, men and women. Often those things are not quite conscious in the brain, but they remain stored in every cell of the body, particularly the connective tissue. So this myofascial release is deep tissue massage. And all these feelings and emotions come pouring out, so they stop having such a tremendous subconscious influence on the behavior and feelings of a person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that, as you mentioned, the Akashic records. So, but remember that the ancients figured this out. They figured that everything in the universe is strength and wisdom. We talked about the Hermetic caduceus being strength and wisdom, two snakes around a staff, which represents a balance of strength and wisdom. Well, physicists over 100 years ago fell in love with these ancient concepts, and they began to see that their discoveries on quantum physics in particular were just a rehash, different names for what the ancients had figured out. So physicists came up with the concept that everything in the universe, and this was published in the journal Scientific American, everything in the known universe is energy and information, strength being energy, information being wisdom. And so, yes, everything, light itself, food itself, us, our bodies, everything is energy and information. So as such, every particle in the universe has energy and is energy and information. So in my opinion, that is how this works. That there's really no separation. It's a balance of the creative forces of consciousness, energy, and information. And so, of course, you know, everything that happens will happen is stored out there. You focused on your own experience, reincarnation, the soul of an individual. Well, I would like to take it even further.
Mm-hmm.
We all could tap into all that information, even other people's information, at a level that, of course, we're not at just yet, because the illusion of individuality is so strong, we are not able to easily cross that barrier and realize that there is no you, there's no me, there's no God, there's just one big consciousness. As such, we could tap into all these fields of information, not just our own. Now, that's my take on it.
Well, I remember there's a story. I don't remember all the details. Do you remember Richard Alpert, who was connected with Tim Leary in the psychedelic movement?
Crawley?
No, Richard Alpert with Tim Leary.
Oh, yeah, but see, all those guys got their all their stuff from Crawley.
No.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Well,
the person who got the stuff from Crawley is more like Hubbard with Scientology. But no, they got their stuff from, basically what happened is that Leary went to Mexico and he took the magic mushroom. And he started to do research in Harvard about these states that he had experienced when LSD came out. So he got his hands in LSD, and he and Richard Alpert started to explore drugs, you know, these particular drugs, LSD, and that's how the psychedelic movement started. But what happened later was that they were getting, it was hard to keep up there. They would fall down and come up, and there was Richard Alpert became a bit upset, and he went to India. And I actually saw him when he came back. And believe me, he was a completely different person. I mean, he was thinner. He wasn't wearing glasses as he was before. He just looked different and he sounded different. And he had, to me, a very notable vibration. But anyway, what he said is he met this guru, and he didn't believe in this. He didn't believe in gurus particularly, but he was talking to him. And the guru brought up some information that was absolutely impossible for anyone to know about him, you know, that he was somewhere thinking about his mother or something like that, which was impossible. And that sort of was the proof that led him into becoming what he became later, a spiritual teacher, because he experienced someone who had the awareness of something that was completely impossible by ordinary means.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, I know. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All but right. That actually got him off of drugs and got him into meditation in a pretty serious way. And he spent his life, you know, the rest of his life studying these things.
Well, you know, since you brought up drugs, I have nothing against drugs. And a good book to read about this is Supernatural by Hancock.
Uh-huh.
There are many books that will tell you that they should be legalized, that a person has a right to experiment with his or her consciousness. But I must say that drugs are not necessary to reach this altered states of consciousness.
Well, you see, I had two friends in high school, and one of them was seriously injured because of drugs, self-injured. The other one became a heroin addict.
Right. So there's a dark side.
I'm uncomfortable with just a carte blanche. You see, the way drugs were used in shamanic teachings is they were used in a specific way under the advice of somebody. And we have that in this country under, with the use of peyote, I believe, by the Apaches and other Indian tribes. Yeah, ayahuasca in the Amazon.
Right.
But that's, to me, totally okay. But it's not okay for me to, you know, somebody sitting around all day and they're basically smoking and watching TV and sports and whatever, and they go out and drive and do these different things. I think that that's a trivialization of something that should be sacramental.
Yes.
But they should be protected by the government for them to use it in that way. I'm not sure they should protect it for people to do it any time they want it as a recreational. Because another thing that I noticed, Doctor, is with friends of mine, and this is going back to the 60s, when this became a big deal where I went to high school. I mean, it was a very big deal, along with other things like alcohol. But anyway, I saw changes in personality. From people
it affects every cell of your body, including your brain. So that's why we talk about frying your brain.
In other words, some of the people that I knew became suddenly very irresponsible, very undisciplined in their thinking. And that kind of turned me off of a lot of it in the beginning. And then I saw some worse things. And so, but I do have this feeling that you're completely right. And I don't know, how can you have this thing? And now I know that for religious reasons, certain Indian tribes can take it. But how do you put that into the general population in a right way with a government that has been putting people in jail forever, you know, and still doesn't want to give that up? You know, with Sessions, he didn't want to give up, you know, the way they were punishing people who took pot.
Oh, Sessions, I'm sorry, but he was a Neanderthal.
Powerfully keeping things going. But now it's beginning to change. But I think maybe in the recreational area, it's getting, it may get out of control.
Well, all we have to do is look at Portugal.
Uh-huh.
They have legalized drugs. I think that's what we should do. Decriminalize them and medicalize them. And so we were talking about an addiction to sugar, how it was just the same as heroin and these drugs. And so how do we deal with it? Well, number one, we don't forbid them. Imagine if we were to say no more high fructose corn syrup. People would get it anyway on the black market, all right? And so we got another problem there. So it has to be decriminalized and then help these people with education, which is what we're doing here. Talking about the danger of refined sugars, the dangers of drugs, which in and of themselves are neutral. We just overuse them. It's like sex or anything else. It can be good or bad.
But some drugs are really, like heroin, is very, very addictive, whereas, you know, other things are much milder and more. So should we make heroin legal?
Yes, absolutely. Every one of them. Now, it's worth repeating here that heroin and cocaine are used in the medical profession, and they're used the right way. Fentanyl is used in the medical profession it's an anesthetic, a powerful anesthetic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To look at marijuana itself, of course, it's in a different category, but it itself is a medical issue. And so to totally ban them, which is what we've done, you can see the results. So look at Portugal, I say.
Mm-hmm. So have they permitted the use of heroin legally?
Exactly. Every drug in Portugal is legal. And tell me, has consumption increased or decreased?
I have no idea.
It decreased. It's well documented. It has decreased. And then the government is getting a whole lot of taxes from the use of these drugs, which they use for rehabilitation and education of regular people and addicts. And so we'll look at alcohol and prohibition. You know how that went.
Well, it just seems to me that if I had a kid and he was like 17 or something, and he was at a friend's house and he took heroin and became an addict, that would make me feel very uncomfortable because of all the things that now would have to be done to make him a normal person.
But Johnny, your kid is kind of find it anyway, whether it's legal or not. So that's, in my mind, it's not a good argument. Okay, so it's called life, you know, that's why education is the best way to help people, including our children. And there's that risk. It's life.
Well, I don't really agree with you. I'm sorry to say. I don't agree with you that sugar should be allowed to be so omnipresent either in all these, or high corn syrup. I think there should be restrictions on its use in manufacturing and processing. Because now you go to a store and you have 95% of these certain types of canned goods and processed goods having high fructose syrup, and it's destroying the country, the health of the country.
All right. Well, we'll disagree then.
Well, of course, we can do that in a friendly way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to take a break now, and we'll be right back.
My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. We are focused on original, innovative projects that are good for humanity. These projects could be nonfiction books or novels, fictional screenplays or documentary content, websites and website content, commercial advertising content for print, audio, or video products on the internet, television, or radio, musical scores for advertising, television, or film, video, audio editing, etc. We want to promote products and projects that support the environment, encourage a healthy experience in living, developing, nurturing, and useful technology, and offering platforms for positive, socially constructive entertainment or informative, transformative media. Our experience in creating a variety of products like this is rather vast, and we offer client-based and collaborative products, as well as the opportunity of active investors to join us in the creation and promotion of proprietary products, some of which are in latter stages of development. For more information, go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. That's www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. If you're interested in talking to us, just fill out the contact sheet and we will get back with you.
Dr. Hugo Rodier has published 4 books on health issues covering practically all chronic health problems. You may find them by accessing his website at hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. Gut health is the most academic, while switching off chronic disease is the most patient-oriented, with simple recipes to implement his nutritional protocols. Today's women with the Me Too movement are beginning to capture more of their self-respect and personal power. To see how far so many women have come, here's a song from an era when many felt they had to make some serious compromises with their need for equality and justice. So they had to keep a lot held back. Like the last song, the women of more than a few decades ago certainly had a sense of humor. This was from Maddie, Marthy, and Minnie with a song called You Can't Live With Him and You Can't Live Without Him.
Happy home. But we can't live with them, and we can't live without them. What are us poor girls gonna do?
Now when we marry, that's all right.
Yeah, but you know we don't like to fight.
But there ain't nothing else for us to do.
No, there ain't nothing else for us to do.
We're back on the Integrative Hermetic Health Show with Dr. Hugo Rodier, and we're going to discuss some other things. We're getting back into some of the articles here. Here's one about glucosamine, which it says may reduce risk for our cardiovascular disease. And it says that the glucosamine, this is from the New York Times, the dietary supplement widely used for arthritic pain may reduce the risk for cardiovascular disease. Well, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, but does it surprise you that an arthritic supplement can help heart disease?
Yeah, because I have no idea why it would, except from what's written here. But I don't see a real answer to that.
Well, that's why I put it in that newsletter. It's because it's an anti-inflammatory.
Oh, right? Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it also builds up tissues. And in other words, it has a whole lot of energy and information. So remember, we were talking about every cell of the body needs good energy and information. If you don't get it, or if you're eating foods that have poor energy, poor information, you become oxidized and inflamed, which in themselves are energy and information molecules, those messengers of inflammation and oxidation. And so if a substance works on one thing, it's going to work on another thing. See, this is what the pharmaceutical approach has done by claiming that one drug helps one disease and this other drug helps another disease.
More money, right?
Exactly. So, well, it's their fragmented, unbalanced view of the universe. And so when people start to think at the root of issues, consciousness, energy, and information, things start to come pretty easily. So you start to see a unifying way of thinking. It's called consilience. Dr. Wilson coined that word, and I totally recommend that book, Consilience. But
consilience,
I don't digress,
okay,
because it's all connected. What I'm leading at is, of course, the pharmaceutical approach is flawed because it's divisive. Okay, it views diseases as if they were totally different. Here's heart disease, here's arthritic disease, here's mental disease, here's gut disease. They're wrong. And remember, the integrative approach is to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So it's not surprising to me that glucosamine will help cardiovascular issues. It probably helps every issue. Because when we start to see that everything is energy and information, that cells, when they don't get proper energy and information, proper food, they start to toil. They become toxic, oxidized, inflamed, and less than optimal mitochondrial function, toil, T-O-I-L. But the point here is that we have, on a more practical level, we have determined 100% cover issue of many journals, including Time magazine, that heart disease is an inflammatory condition. Think of your heart, your arteries, or the lining particularly of your arteries, the endothelium, as being inflamed. It's toiling, T-O-I-L. And so if you eat anti-inflammatory foods or take an anti-inflammatory agent, even Boswellia, even aspirin, I mean, that's a classical example here, how aspirin has been shown to help cardiovascular issues.
Right. So that has to do with reducing inflammation.
Right. So, see, that's why I threw that article in, you know, to show that, hey, you shouldn't be surprised over this. Aspirin has also been shown to reduce cancer. It's also been shown to help diabetics, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm not saying take aspirin. We've talked about aspirin in particular, which is no longer recommended for you to take willy-nilly just because, unless you've had severe or moderate heart disease already. And so the cost-benefit analysis is different from a normal person to one who has had cardiovascular problems. So aspirin is no longer recommended for everyone. And so that's the take on glucosamine. So hopefully people get it. Now, there's something better for prevention of inflammation than glucosamine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to start telling everyone to take glucosamine. I'd rather you took turmeric or curcumin. We've talked about extensively about this condiment. It is amazing, about to become a drug, an adjuvant drug in cancer chemotherapy, meaning it helps chemotherapy work better. Turmeric does. Turmeric is already a drug in India to lower blood pressure, lower inflammation, thin the blood, decrease the risk of cancer, decrease sugar. Other than that, it's worthless.
Well, it sounds pretty good. Well, I'm going to talk about another kind of substance that has had many different problems. And we're talking about antibiotics. And that's supposed to be like the miracle at a certain point in the sort of medical history. But it seems to have various problems. One of them, apparently, is long-term antibiotic use tied to higher CVD risk. And this is, I guess, in older people. Is that correct?
Yeah, CVD meaning cardiovascular disease.
Right.
You know, now, okay, just a question here. Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Maybe it causes, I don't know, but I know that that people say that many problems, sort of autoimmune problems, were concerned because of the way the microbiome was affected by antibiotics.
Exactly. So we talked about inflammation a minute ago, right?
Yeah.
So where is inflammation generated? By the immune system and the gut. So when you take a bunch of antibiotics, what you're doing is messing with the microbiome, the gut bacteria. And so they're going to be upset, and they let you know it. One of the ways they let you know it is by producing inflammation, which begins to mess with the lining of the intestines. And so the lining becomes leaky. That inflammation leaks out of the gut and goes to every cell of the body, including the lining cells of the arteries. But it gets worse, because when we take antibiotics, we also mess with the way the gut bacteria processes food. Remember the word postbiotic that we talked about?
Uh-huh.
All right. Meaning that everything you put in your body, even drugs, even food, everything, is modulated by your gut bacteria. So you and I could take the same drug, you and I could eat the same food, and it will affect us differently because of the gut bacteria we carry. And so we'll have different postbiotics. Well, it turns out that when people lack certain bacteria, and it might be from the overuse of pesticides and antibiotics, a certain food will produce certain postbiotics, which have been shown to be toxic to the arteries and, of course, every other cell of the body. And the lack thereof of certain postbiotics also has been shown to be toxic from a lack perspective to every cell of the body, including the arteries. So, yeah, you were right. I just expanded on that answer.
When did they first find that antibiotics might have deleterious effect?
Before we marketed them.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. People were well aware that messing with bacteria could have bad side effects. In fact, Fleming, you know about,
yeah,
Fleming,
uh-huh,
right?
Yeah.
Well, Fleming had a hard time finding volunteers to try his fungal juice. You know, I mean, that's how he got penicillin,
yeah,
right?
From uh-huh,
a wrapper in a wastebasket growing mold. And so he was trying to tell people to eat the mold. Really? Are you crazy, Mr. Fleming? Dr. Fleming? See? Had a hard time getting a study group to go for it and use it, because we were aware that messing with unseen organisms, let me say it again, we were fully aware that messing with unseen organisms might have deleterious consequences. Of course, the rest is history, and we're glad that we have antibiotics, but they've been used so willy-nilly, so much so unaware or even disregarding the fact that we're robbing Peter to pay Paul, that we're having a whole lot of problems.
If they use it more judiciously, it might not have such long-term effects.
Exactly. See, we worry about resistance to antibiotics from overuse. That's the least of your concerns. Now we're becoming aware, which we should have, it's been in the medical literature since I graduated from medical school, that antibiotics beat up your microbiome. And so that's the root of autoimmune diseases, all kinds of problems. So I always find the smoking gun, people coming in with arthritis, with gut problems, autoimmune diseases. Yeah, I find that most of these people were blasted with antibiotics for this and that, a bone infection, even acne. Look, moms come in with little kids with an ear infection. If you don't give them an antibiotic, they walk out pretty mad. And, of course, it's getting better. It's getting better. And I don't have such patients in my practice because I make it clear that I work differently. By the way, since I brought up ear infections, I must say that in Europe, they hardly treat ear infections. Nobody dies.
Ah, interesting. Well, we're kind of approaching the end of our story here. But maybe you could comment just briefly on this article called Lower Fat Diet Rich in Fruits, Vegetables, and Grains May Lower Risk of Death from Breast Cancer. It's just another area of application to a good diet and the effect of a bad diet on breast cancer.
Yeah, that was published in the American Society of Clinical Oncology's annual meeting. But we've known this for a long time, and we alluded to it with the work of Warbach in 1931. So why is this the case? Why these foods, fruits, veggies, and whole grains, lower the risk of breast cancer? Fiber, which we now call prebiotics because they feed probiotics and thereby increase your ability to detoxify, because the immune system in the gut should be renamed the immunodetoxification system. And so by eating a lot of fiber, you then, as opposed to fat diets, you will improve your microbiome and thereby detoxify better, feed your cells better energy information. But there's another angle here too. Remember that cancers are 85% environmental, and breast cancer itself has been linked to xenoestrogens or endocrine disruptors, over 800 chemicals that have an estrogen effect. So the breast and, I should say, prostate of men are over-estrogenized, thereby leading to cancer in both organs.
Uh-huh.
But then a higher fat diet is going to be full of toxins, these endocrine disruptors, because fat soaks up toxins like you wouldn't believe. And that's why obese people have more cancer, because they are not only getting foods that are more redolent, saturated with toxins, but they themselves store toxins in their own fat. And so, I mean, this is a huge story. I'm glad that it gets rehashed a lot. And hopefully people will listen to the show or other venues stating the obvious, what we've known for decades.
Well, listen, the time has come that we must depart. And thank you so much for another very enlightened discussion on many different subjects.
Well, you're welcome, Johnny. We'll see you next week.
You take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
For more information about Dr. Rodier's practice, books, blogs, and newsletters, contact Hugo Rodier, MD, at www.hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. We will go out with one last bit of musical submission to the way the 99% felt many decades ago. It hasn't completely changed, but we have a lot more advanced entertainment to distract us. This song is called Poor Man, Rich Man, and sung by David McCarn.
Let me tell you people something that's true. When you work in a mill, I tell you what you have to do. You get up every morning before daylight. You labor all day until it gets night. You work a few days, get pale in the face from standing so long in the same darn place. Along comes the boss, hard as he can tear. He wants you to think he's a grizzly bear. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So let the poor man live and the rich man bust. When you go to dinner, you have to run, or they'll blow the whistle before you're done. Payday comes, you won't have a penny when you pay your bills, cause you got so many. Sometimes you hear a racket like Becker Woods, but it's only peddlers trying to sell their goods. The merchants, they're all just about grave from studying how to get the poor man's pay. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, so let the poor man live and the rich man buzz. Now some people run the millman down, but the cotton mill people make the world go round. They take a little drink to have a little fun whenever they can manage to rake up the money. Now I left the mountains when I was a strip. I never will forget that awful trip. I walked all the way behind the apple wagon. When I got to town, a seat up, my pants was a dragon. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So let the poor man live and the rich man buzz. Time comes, there's hell to pay. When you see the boss, you'll have to say, I want a load of wood, a ton of coal, take a dollar out a week, or I'll go in the hole. You have to buy your groceries at some chain store, cause you can't afford to pay anymore. You don't starve, I'm a son of a gun, cause you can't buy beans without any bun. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, so let the poor man live and the rich man buzz.